Welcome to Word on the Street. This message is brought to you from Heart of the City in downtown Anchorage, Alaska, and is made possible by our generous City Light partners. Become a City Light partner by downloading our app or visiting us at heartofthecityak.com. And now, here's today's message.
Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Amen. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God's word. You can be seated while I pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this community of people, God, that you have ordained that we would be a part of today. We don't say that it is random that we're here or by mistake. We trust, God, that you are leading each one of us into this community that we might fight for our highest joy in Christ. So we thank you, God, for this church service and all that you're doing here. Thank you for every life that you are changing. Thank you for bringing us together that we might grow as a body into the head, which is Christ, that we might come together and proclaim your excellencies to all the world. You're worthy of it, God. We trust you to do that in us today. Let us receive from you today, God. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We're in a mini series, right?
Yeah.
Fighting for your joy. Today we're talking about fighting for your joy through community. And you probably sat down on a card. Did you see that? You sat down on a card. We're going to get to that after the sermon. But today is all about coming together as a community and being intentional to come together in a way that God can actually work in us. So I'm gonna argue for that today. I'm gonna talk about how we can take advantage of those cards as soon as we're done. So we're talking about fighting for your joy through community today. And what I'm gonna try to convince you of is that being in close-knit community with other believers in Christ, is the means by which God intends to bring us into our highest joy in Christ. That's what I'm arguing for today. That's what I'm going to try to convince you of. And this is not to say that I'm arguing against having relationships or being in community with unbelievers or people that are immersed in sin. Jesus himself was questioned for doing this very thing. You see it a few times in the Gospels. There he is, hanging out with a bunch of filthy sinners.
Yeah.
And the religious elite, and even his own disciples, were seeing this behavior and asking themselves, what has gotten into Jesus? What's he doing with the sinners?
Ah.
Awkward. What's he doing? And the reason this is because what the religious culture said in that day was that filthy sinners could make the clean people dirty.
Wow.
And here's how I imagine that going. Maybe this is helpful for you, maybe not. This is the picture that came into my mind, okay? So let me just give it to you. I imagine the feeling they probably got is the same feeling you'd get if you happen to see the cook in the back coughing on your burger that you just ordered.
Jesus.
Oh. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't even order something else at that point.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gone. You're leaving. You're so grossed out, you can't even be in the same room anymore. Because all you can see and hear is everyone around you grabbing their burgers and sinking their teeth into the burger that guy probably just coughed on. and the spittle that flew out of his mouth is like draining down the corner of their mouth. They're just going to town, and you just saw the guy coughing on it. How sick is that? And guess what? When he was coughing, one of his beard hairs flew off, and now it's sitting on someone's tongue. What is that, a sprout? Are you grossed out yet?
Yeah.
That's what a religious mindset will make you feel about being around dirty people. People that aren't as good as you. You're so gross to me right now, I can't even be in the same room as you. Why don't you leave and go clean yourself up, because I can't even be around you right now. Yuck. I need my space from you. You're sick. That's religion.
Yes, it is.
And it's anti-gospel.
Yes, it is.
It's anti-gospel. So now imagine Jesus sitting there. He's about to eat this burger. It's probably got a booger on it. And he's eating with the cooks that just made it. The guy that was coughing on his burger, he's sitting down to eat a meal with this guy. And then the other cook is there that doesn't wash his hands after he goes to the bathroom, too.
Okay.
He's there, too. I'm going somewhere. This is really painting a picture for you. And someone comes up and asks him, Jesus, are you seriously about to eat that burger with those people? And what I hear Jesus saying is this. Am I going to eat the burger? Yeah, I'm eating it. I'm eating it. Because where you see a dirty person who is unworthy to be in the presence of God, I see a person whom I love dearly and want to have relationship with. And I'm not going to let the burger stand in the way. In fact, I'm willing to take on all the filth in the world and be judged by God himself for every bit of it so that I can be in community with sinners like these two.
Wow. That's good.
Sinners that cough on burgers. Yes, it's a sin to cough on someone's burger, by the way.
Amen.
But you get the point. You get the point. I am in no way saying that we should not be in community with people who are outside the church or immersed in sin or not as good as us. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm arguing for today is that it is the will of God for you to be in close-knit community with people who love Jesus and are being saved by his death and resurrection every day. That's what I'm going for today. So, ready? Two, one, two, one, two. Thank you. If we consider community, if we consider the reality of community for a moment, obviously it's everywhere. This is not a new concept for us. We have communities all around us that revolve around anything and everything you could probably think of. Seriously. Art. Come on, where's my art people?
Woo!
Yeah. Music. You see that today?
Yes, that's awesome.
I love our music community. Yoga. Where's Lonnie?
Yoga.
Hey, it's okay, brother. I'm just kidding. I'm not knocking on yoga. CrossFit. How's that? CrossFit. We got a really strong CrossFit community all over the place. Fishing and hunting. That's right. You guys are out there. Off-roading.
Yeah.
Jeremiah. Who we got a part of a beer league hockey team around here? No? Me and my wife were on one. You don't have to drink beer, by the way. Beer league hockey. How about the bar scene? Where everybody knows your name. That's a good community for some folks. How about this? Right across the parking lot, we have a potluck events, pot smoking community. Sadly, the community of brain cells they have in their head is quickly disbanding. The list could go on forever, seriously. And what I would submit to you is that the reason this is so is because we, human beings, were designed this way.
Yeah.
It's by design. It's not survival of the fittest. It's God's design. Check this out. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Skip to 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Who is the us referring to in this verse? This is God speaking, and he's referring to himself. We serve a God who exists in three equal but distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No one's been able to crack this box open. You know how many hours of conversation I've had about the Trinity? It's awesome. God the Father is not the Son or the Holy Spirit, yet he is fully God. God the Son is not the Father or the Holy Spirit, yet he is fully God. God the Holy Spirit is not the Father or the Son, yet he is fully God.
Yes, he is.
God is three persons, and there is one God with one nature, one character, and one will, and it is absolutely beautiful. Sure. Don't try to figure it out. Just marvel. Seriously. Seriously. But the reason we were designed for and cannot exist without community is because we were made in the image of God, who is a community in and of himself.
Yes.
How cool is that? Before anything was ever made, God existed in perfect community for eternity past. He enjoyed perfectly harmonious relationship for eternity. How's that for foundation? That just sets the table for us right there. We were made in the image of likeness of God. Therefore, we were made to be in community and have relationships. Agree?
Yeah.
If we look at the Bible, the entire thing is a singular story about God redeeming a community for himself, a people for himself. It's a community that would find their highest joy in having a relationship with God himself. So, if we're going to fulfill that purpose, if we're going to fulfill the reason we were made to reflect the image of God to this world, here's what you have to hear. You can't do it alone.
That's true. That's right. Yep.
You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. None of us can do it alone.
Yeah.
And it's fully possible to be in the room full of people and be alone.
Yeah.
Sure.
We can't do it. And the degree to which you commit to having close-knit relationships and being in community with other believers is the degree to which you will find your highest joy in Christ. It's the way he designed it.
Yes.
It's how it works. So if we look to the New Testament, we see that the church community is a community of people who have been adopted by God himself.
Yeah.
You agree? And there are several pictures that are given to describe the interconnectedness of the church. One of them is a body in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 12. It says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." Likewise, in Romans 12, 4, it says the same thing: "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another."
Yes.
Welcome to the family.
Yes.
How important does that make community for us? Think about it. Each part of a body is unique and has a specific purpose.
Yes.
But try to remove that part of the body and have it be on its own and see what it can do. See how well it can perform its purpose. Consider the eye, right? probably the most complex part of your body, the most empowering part of your body, maybe, I don't know. Take it out, and what do you have? A bouncy ball. A soft marble. That's all you have. It's pretty much worthless outside the body.
Yeah.
It's not going to survive outside the body. It can't do what it's supposed to do outside the body.
True.
So this is the word of God for you today. Stop thinking that you're better off alone.
Yes, that's good.
Stop thinking that you're going to ruin the vibe if you show up. Stop thinking that you don't need to be interwoven in beautiful relationships with the rest of the body.
Yeah.
Yes.
And please stop believing the lie that you're not needed because you are.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. God, would you let that land on us with full conviction? Would you free us from the lie that we're not needed in this place? The lie that we don't belong? The lie that we have nothing to offer? Would you free us, God, to plug into the people that you put before us for our highest joy?
Yes.
For your glory, God. Do it in us.
Yeah.
You guys ready to start a revolution?
Come on.
Yeah. There's another picture in 2 Peter. I won't read it, but it's a whole passage that likens us as individuals who have become Christ followers as living stones. How do you feel about yourself now? I just called you a rock. But check it out. It's actually a beautiful picture because not only have each one of us been raised from the dead and made alive in Christ, but we are being built together as a living, growing, dwelling place for God.
Yes. That's good
teaching. As living stones. You think a living stone sounds cool? Watch what our Creator can make when He starts stacking them together.
Yeah.
Seriously, reminds me of Heart of the City. It does. I think what a person sees when they walk in these doors is what our God can do when He decides to build something out of living stones. People from every walk of life, every background, who've been through any number of things. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter where you are. He's bringing us together. He's building something out of us, and it is glorious.
Yes, it is.
People see it when they come in this place. It's glorifying to God. We are real people enjoying God. And we are unlike any other community that you're going to find in the whole world. I really believe that. What actually sets us apart, though? We already talked about how many communities there are out there. There's an infinite number, practically. What makes us different? What do people see when they walk in the door at this place? One reason. One thing. And His name is Jesus.
Yes.
That's what sets us apart. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and the reason that we can stand together, no matter who you are in this place, and sing praises to our God.
Yeah.
He is the one that allows us to say with full conviction, we look down on no one.
Yeah.
Because even at our worst, Jesus didn't look down on us, but loved us and laid His life down that we might be a community with Him.
Yeah.
In Him. For all of eternity, to the praise of His glorious grace. He's the reason that we get to do that. Honest to God, I look around the room, and what I think more times than not is I'm going to spend the rest of eternity with most of the people in the room, probably. Why is that? One reason, and it's Jesus. And He is worthy to be worshiped by all of us as a family, as a spiritual house with Him as the cornerstone, as a body with Him as the head.
Yes.
All of us with one voice and one conviction and one love that says, Jesus is enough for me.
Yes.
He's enough for my brother and my sister and my family and anyone that shows up in these doors. He is enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're centered on. That's what brings us together. That's what makes us a community unlike anyone else in the world. That's why the world needs to see this place.
Yes.
And hear what is being said in this place.
Yes.
Because it's good news. My prayer is that each one of us that comes in the door, each one of us that goes to this church, whether you've been here for a while, whether you're new, whether you've never met anyone, whether you're plugged in or not, whether you're an introvert or not, whether you're shy or not, whether you have the time for it or not, my prayer would be that you would commit today to fighting for your joy through community and close-knit relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
I think that's where God is trying to take us. Not just people that show up on Sunday morning. We're good at that already, right?
Yeah.
It's time to go deep.
Yeah.
It's time to get interwoven with one another.
Wow.
That's good. Come on.
So, if you read through the New Testament, you're going to find 59 one another commands. Do this to one another. Do that to one another. 59 one another commands that teach us how to interact and treat one another in the context of community. 59 of them. I'm going to read all 59. Ready? I'm kidding. Let me read a few of them, though. Listen to this. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Comfort and agree with one another.
Yes.
Live in peace and care for one another. Be kind to one another.
Yes.
Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Yes.
Bear one another's burdens. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Seek to do good to one another. Live in harmony and welcome one another. Increase in love for one another. Be filled with knowledge and instruct one another. Teach and admonish one another. There's a small sample for you. All of these one another commands, which are meant to lead us into our highest joy in Christ, are all a call for the members of this church to treat each other a certain way or to have a certain type of relationship with one another.
Yes.
That's what they are. But here's the thing. We're going to ask you to sign up for a small group today. That's what we're going to do at the end. We're going to ask you to not just go to this church, but to belong to this church.
Yeah.
You hearing that?
Yeah, that's good.
We don't want you to just show up on Sundays. We want you to be intricately woven into the family fabric.
Yeah.
We're trying to build a family. And the reason is because if you read through these one another commands, it's pretty tough to follow them when you're only here on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That's just the real truth of it.
Right.
You can't pull it off really all that well. The best way to live in obedience to these commands and to fight for your joy through community is to be a part of a small group. So that's what we're going to push you towards today. I want to lay out the vision for our small groups. If you're signing up for small groups today, this is what you're signing up for. Ready? I got five things, and we're doing really good on time. Number one, this is the aim of our small groups. Number one, know and serve one another persistently. Know and serve one another persistently. The most effective way to truly know someone and how you can serve them is to enter into an environment with them that fosters deeper relationships than you're going to find on a Sunday morning.
Yep. Good.
True?
Yes.
All of us face life on life's terms. We don't really get a choice on that. Life just sort of comes at us, right?
Yes.
Which means there's going to be a lot of ups and downs for most of us. And the reality is that we can't do that alone. Some of us have tried it, and you know that it doesn't work.
Yes.
Yep.
Some of us are going to fall flat on our faces, and we actually need to be picked up. Some of us need to be nudged forward. Some of us need to be called up. All those things. Because life is life, and we're all going through it. So having a group of believers who know what's going on in your life and will be asking you on a regular basis if you need anything is going to bring you joy as you walk through all those things. So I'm going to say, hey, man, I'm not just asking you how you're doing. I want to know what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
No, tell me. I want to serve you. I want to let you know how I'm doing, too. Come on, we need each other.
Yes, we do.
Sure. Know and serve one another persistently. If we're going to meet each other's needs, we got to know each other.
Yes.
Number two, pray with and for one another routinely. John 16:24. Jesus says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Your joy is connected to your prayer life.
Yes, it is.
It's often said that if you are breathing, then you have a prayer request.
Wow.
Raise your hand if you're breathing. Only like half of you are breathing. That's a concern, you guys. The people in your small group will be the ones who will identify and know these prayer requests and be faithful to lift them up to God. That's your people, to know you, to know how to pray for you, to actually do it for you. And the reality is that a lot of us are kind of scared of prayer. Is that true for anyone? A little bit nervous to pray with your spouse, a little bit nervous to pray out loud. Don't know how you're going to sound. Don't know what to say. That's a reality for some people. Well, no one's going to ask you to pray on Sunday morning. No one's going to call you up from that. No one's going to challenge you and help you go deeper in your prayer life outside of the context of a people who are committed to the same thing themselves, who are going to tell you, hey, you're where you are, right? You are where you are. We want to be a praying people, so let's just do this. Even if we sound really dumb, we're not judging each other.
Right.
Let's pray to our God that our joy might be full. And you can actually do that in a small group of people who are on the same road as you are. Some ahead, some behind, but that's how it works. On top of that, there are many things to be praying about in the world. Social justice. How about the next president? The homeless, the lost, any number of things. All these things are things we should be praying for, and the small group is a really, really great place to take time to pray about those things as a group of people. That's number two. Here's number three. Open up the Bible with one another expectantly. The Bible, which is cover to cover about Christ, is your life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need the Word of God for your spiritual life.
That's right.
You cannot do life with Christ without it. And this is another one of those things that I think some of us are challenged with. Not all of us naturally open up our Bible every day. Not all of us are drawn to it or disciplined to engage with it every day. Why not have a group of people who know you and are committed to open up the Bible with you on a regular basis? Does that sound good, anyone?
Yeah.
We're saved and sanctified by the truth. We must open the Word of God, even as we are praying for God to open our eyes to see wondrous things out of it. So that's what small groups is going to do for you. Open up the Bible with one another expectantly. Number four, preach the gospel to one another tenaciously. Preach the gospel to one another tenaciously. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Amen?
Yeah.
It is the greatest news there is, and it applies to every situation in our lives. But the truth is that although all Christians know the gospel, not all of us are very good at articulating the gospel. I remember years ago, I was in the office with Pastor Chris and Pastor Max from down in Seward, and I think Pastor Rich was there. At least three or four pastors in the room, right? And we have the colored bracelets getting ready to go take them out to the kids for Easter so that we can walk them through the gospel. You ever seen those gospel bracelets? They're color-coded, so you can walk through the gospel. And I think we were in there for 2 hours or something trying to figure out how do we say the gospel to the kids outside. A bunch of pastors in the room. And we're like, man, how do we say it? It's actually kind of difficult. If someone asks you, tell me what the gospel is right now, go. I mean, I know it. I know it. But come on, that you, Jesus, sin, Jesus. I got it. Sin, hell, heaven. Yeah, that's the gospel, baby. I got it. Come on, that's where we start. But if you enter into the context of a small group with people in it who are filled with the gospel message, committed to preaching to one another the beautiful message of the gospel, you're going to become fluent before you know it. You're going to have your 1 minute version, your 1 sentence version, your 5 minute version, your 10 minute version, your 2 hour version, your version for the homeless guy, your version for the rich guy, your version for whoever you come across. Maybe it's some guy at work. You got a version for every area of your life. Seriously, it takes time, but that's what results when you enter into a group of people who are committed to the gospel and the speaking of it to one another. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Okay, last one. Number 5. Work out our salvation with one another joyfully. We're talking about fighting for our joy through community today. What you get when you get into a small group is that you get to work out your salvation with one another joyfully. Even as we rejoice in God's empowering presence in our lives, we must work hard to live in obedience to God's word. We need each other, you guys. Flat out. Can I be vulnerable with you guys for a second? Don't squirm in your seat. I just want to be real. I want to let you know how I have seen this stuff to come true in my life. I'm praying that my own testimony would land on you and convince you to sign up for a small group today. So, years ago, grew up, right? Went through high school. I don't think I talked to a single person in high school. I was crippled, introvert to the max. I wasn't one of the weird ones, but I was like, just chill, you know what I mean? But I didn't talk to anyone. Seriously, I talked to no one. I cried in front of Charity at the dinner table because of how pathetic I was. So, despite her efforts to minister to me with the gospel, to lead me in the way that I should go, what I discovered was that when someone handed me a beer, I got brought into a community with them.
Right.
Sure. Just a kid. Couldn't talk to anyone. I was all clammed up. And someone with a beer approached me and said, you know what, come join our community. Knock a few of these back. It's all good. And for the first time in my life, I had people around me that had something I could share with them. Right. You know where it went. It went down that path. I made my community with a bunch of people who were just as lost as I was. The blind leading the blind. Yeah. I got myself into so many horrible situations. Oh, I could tell you some stories. And I'm not going to. There's some bad ones. There's some really bad ones. But guess what? My community knew about some of these situations that were really bad. Times when my very life was at stake. If that guy came through the door, I was going to die.
Wow.
And guess what my community said to me? Guess how they ministered to me? Got through that one. We're having a kegger tonight, man. Holy cow, we need to take a load off. We're having a kegger. That's what we do. And it just perpetuated. Come on, this is no surprise to anyone. That's what I did in order to have community around myself. And it led to destruction after destruction after destruction. It was bad. I was fully immersed in my sin and rebellion, and I was suffering the consequences. Fast forward to now. Back then, I was searching for my satisfaction. I was searching for happiness in community, my joy in community, by having beers with other people and getting trashed at every opportunity. Well, here's where I'm at today. I've been called into ministry, right?
Yes.
And this is my community. A group of people who've probably been where I was, who probably did things that were worse than I did. All of us now in the same room, here to meet with God, to lift up the name of Christ, to proclaim that although we were where we were at and it was ugly and it wasn't working, we were redeemed out of that.
Yeah.
We've been called to come together,
yes,
to glorify God with what he can do with the human condition in each one of us as he builds us together.
Yeah.
But I'm actually still a sinner. I'm still sinning.
We all are.
But guess what? This is front burner. This is stuff that's happening right now. I'm stressed out, right? Past few weeks, holy cow, stressed out to the max. Barely hanging on. Full-time job at the FAA, right? I'm working for the government, you guys. Practically a full-time job at the church. I got a wife and kids. My truck's breaking down every day. This is not a country song. This is actually my life. All my books are sitting on the shelf. I don't have time to pick any of them up. My guitars are on the shelf collecting dust. I can't do anything with those. All of them are calling my name. All of them are saying, come, give me attention. Come on, be with me. And I'm like, I got so much stuff to do. I don't even know what to do. And I'm wasting away. I'm struggling. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start cleaning things up. You know what? I'm going to invite the freedom of simplicity into my life. I'm going to cut out all the stuff that I don't need to focus on right now. And I'm just going to enjoy the freedom of doing my job because that's good. And being with my wife and kids because that is good. And ministering in this church with everything I've got because that is good. And so I'm like, okay, I gotta sell off some guitar stuff. I'm gonna park the truck. I'm not gonna sell it. It's 72 GMC. It's sweet, kinda sometimes when it's not breaking down. But let me just park it. You know what? I'm gonna go get a truck. I'm gonna go get a new or lightly used silver crew cab, short bed with 20s, LTZ Chevy pickup. Come on. I'm going to get that thing. I deserve it. Problem! My community, right, they know me. They know what's going on with me. Okay, I don't keep it all inside. If I'm tired, I tell them. If I'm stressed out, I tell them.
Yes. Sure.
I need them to know that about me.
Yes.
I need them to be praying for me.
Yes.
And I tell them, I'm going to get a truck. I just need to breathe for a second.
Yes.
And so, okay, you know, I tell a few people that know me and love me and are committed to where God is taking me in my life. And I had several things come out of their mouths. One was that, hey, go do it, but make sure your wife's on board.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. All right. That's a go. My wife, bless her heart, I love her to death. And I believe that she has a vote in every decision we make in our home.
Yes.
So she gives me a budget that I have no choice but to agree with. We work on our budget together. And it's a little too small for that LTZ 2014 with the 20s and all that. It's about 15 grand short. So I'm beating the street, right? I'm talking to every dealer I can. I'm like, give me that 2014 with the 20s for 25,000 bucks. Come on. None of them would budge. All of them were saying, you give me 40 grand, it's yours. Come on. Here I am trying to prepare this for the sermon. I'm beating the street looking for a truck because I'm just trying to get my head above water so I can breathe. It's sucking the life out of me, but I'm determined because I deserve it. Yes. And it's going to give me some life. And then I talk to another person, a very close friend who loves me and knows me and wants the best for me. And he's not afraid to tell me the truth. He's not blowing the whistle on my sin. He's not calling me out. He's lovingly and graciously showing me what's going on in my heart. And what he says is, come on, bro. What are you doing? What are you doing right now? This isn't you, man. You've been debt-free for 6 years. You're a minister in the church. Your testimony is important. People are looking to you to lead them. Why are you trying to go spend $40,000 on something you think is going to make you happy? Come on, bro. Come on. Love you. And even as I was preparing for this sermon yesterday, I was hit with the weight of all of my community speaking against me so that I can't get the truck that I deserve. I just want the truck. I'm working like 80 hours a week. I give away half of my money. Why can't I go get a truck? Come on. What's wrong with these people? Don't they want me to be happy? And even as I was preparing yesterday, the Lord was ministering to me. And what he was saying, what he said to me was so sweet and so gracious. He was saying, come on, I know where you're at. I know what you're dealing with. I know the weight that you're carrying. I know that you're stressed out. I know that you're looking for air. Yes. But I've given you your community. Yes. And I'm using them right now to reveal the truth to you. Yes. What I'm trying to say to you through your community is that I don't want you going after stuff to find your happiness. I want you to meet me where you're at in that pit, in that place of weakness, in that place of desperation where you barely feel like you can breathe. I want to meet you there because that's where I am strong to you. That's where I can minister to you and fill you with joy and speak life into you. You don't need a truck to make you happy. You need me. That's what God was saying to me through my community. And as he had me in that pit, so desperate to find my own way out through stuff.
Yes.
He said, you need me. That's all you need.
Yes.
I'm enough for you. That's what
he
said. And that's what your community here at Heart of the City is put in place for.
Yes.
To remind you that God is after your heart.
Yes. Good.
A people who know where you're at and what you're dealing with and can speak in a way that is so sweet and so loving and so true to get you to see Christ in all of his saving power. That's what small groups are for. That's what our family is for here at Heart of the City.
Yeah.
We need it. I so desperately needed it yesterday. I had the dealer texting me as I was writing all this stuff down, crying on the computer screen. I straight up texted the guy, man, I'm sorry to waste your time, but I don't need that truck. I need Jesus. Probably sound like a weirdo. But I gave it to him straight up. He said, well, what's it going to take to get you into a rig? I said, I don't know, brother. But here's another weird answer for you. My community has my back. And I cannot act against them. God has placed them in my life for my best interest, for my joy. So let me talk to them and see what we can do. You guys ready to sign up for small groups? That's what we're doing. 45, 10 minutes over. Let's do this. We want you to sign up for small groups right here, right now. If you have a smartphone, you can pull out your phone. You ready? Let's do it. Let's do it together. Pull out your smartphone. Open up your Heart of the City app. Takes a minute. Connect. Click on the Connect tab on the bottom. What do you see there? What's that little button say?
Small group sign up?
Yes! Small group sign up. You can click right on that button. You can fill in your information. We're going to collect it all, and we're going to get all of us into small groups over the next couple weeks. We're all going to get into these communities that are full of love and full of the gospel and full of life. And it's going to be awesome. Amen? So let's stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he lift you up and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Pretty much.
May he lift up his countenance and give you peace and call you to sign up for small groups right now. Amen?
Amen.
For your joy, for the glory of God. Thanks be to God. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
God is moving in our cities. We hope that this message has blessed you, and we encourage you to share it with anyone. Feel free to make copies of this message, but please do not charge for those copies or change the content in any way. To keep the word on the street, partner with us and become a city light. All the information can be found online at heartofthecityak.com.